Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger. And today I have the special privilege of interviewing one of the two, basically the two only pros out of the United States for 2020, Miss Nam. That is her nickname. And I also have here on the line her husband, Paul, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, Paul and Nam, why don't you tell our audience where you both live, kind of what you're doing right now with the COVID-19 and the quarantine and all of that?
Hi. Thank you for opportunity for me to, you know, share my thoughts and things in your podcast. We are live in Seattle, Washington, and all the COVID now is we just stay at home like everybody else. Try not to go out if we don't need to. Work out at home. That's priority.
Yeah. Yeah, and Paul, why don't you tell us a little bit about how the two of you met?
We met through a acquaintance in Thailand about 15 years ago. Kind of hit it off, and lots of phone calls and lots of trips to Thailand for a couple of years, and yeah.
And now you're both based in Seattle, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. And so, Nam, you had earned pro status as you won second overall at the Arnold. So I know, but the listeners don't know, what class did you win at the Arnold Amateur this year?
I went as a class A.
All right. Yes. So how long have you been competing? And then also, what got you started with your career?
I have been competing about 3 years, and what has got me started to compete is I never knew about bodybuilding before, so I kind of have the TMJ problem, and I don't know what exactly the thing is for the TMJ thing, the name of it. But the shortest name is TMJ, have to do with my jaw. And I went to see many doctor, and, you know, and then I can't sleep, and I have nervous, thing like that. So, and then my physical therapist advised me to try the weight training. Mm-hmm. And I told him I don't like exercising. It's kind of weird. I love exercising right now. And he like, just try. Maybe, you know, your muscle is get stronger, then it doesn't bothering you that much. And then I went to it. And it's quite funny because I don't know that, like, people say, well, you know, when you first time start lifting, you gain muscle really fast. And I met one of my gym partner, and he say, you look pretty good for the first time lifting, and you gain muscle really fast. You want to do bodybuilding? And I'm like, what is that? So he took me to one of the show, local show, is called Candy Johnson Classic in 2016, I believe. And I went into it, and then I saw all of the bikini girl on the stage. I'm like, wow, they look great. They're in shape. I want to look like that. And then he asked me, and I'm like, you think you can do that? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's try. I kind of like the way they look. So, and then took me about a year to prepping for that show, that the show that I went to watch.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I think I take second place
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Second and novice in the Open.
Yeah, second and novice in Open. It's kind of like, wow, I don't expect to place. I just want six pack.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so what do you do for a living, and what's kind of like your educational background and everything?
I finished high school in my country, Thailand, and I, you know, I have two siblings, so I kind of grew up a little poor. And if I go to college, and my sibling cannot go to high school, so I have to take off to go to work to support my family, and then my sibling can go to the high school. And then when I get to the United States, I will take some ESL classes and some college classes here in United States.
Okay. And have you guys always lived in Seattle then?
Yes.
Okay. So your trainer was there. And I know that since that first show, you have done some other competitions at the regional level. Can you kind of just give us the rundown of how many regional shows you did, and then whether or not you had done any pro qualifiers or any kind of national shows before earning pro status at the Arnold?
I think I did 4 original shows.
So she did the Tangi Johnson Classic in 2017, mm-hmm. The Northwest Championship in 2017,
yeah.
Emerald Cup 2018, Pacific Coast in 18, and then she did her first pro qualifier, the Vancouver Open.
Pro show in Vancouver,
Canada.
Yeah.
Okay, so was that it? That was a pro qualifier, the Vancouver?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, and how did you do there?
I won my class, then the overall, we never get the result, so I don't know for sure where I place.
Okay, well, that's pretty good. And that was in 2018?
Yes.
Okay, so the Emerald Cup, we know that that's like a huge, huge show out there on
yes.
the West Coast. So how did you do at the Emerald Cup?
I won my class, and I won the overall Open, and I won Master, and I won overall Master.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I didn't realize you were Masters. What, if you don't mind sharing, what is your age?
I'm going to be 38 this year.
Oh, wow. That's so inspiring. You don't look it at all. So at the Arnold, I didn't see you in the Masters division, and I know that that does not earn a pro card if you compete in the Masters. So was that your strategy going into the Arnold, that you just wanted to do only the class that was going to earn pro status for you?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, for me, I don't want, my coach also want me to compete at the Master, but then I'm like, they're not pro qualifier. I don't want plan B to be plan A.
Yeah.
So I'm just went in. If I get it, I get it. If I don't get it, that's okay.
Well, you got it. So it worked out pretty well. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said that you had, I mean, there was quite a time gap in between your last show, the Vancouver Pro Qualifier in 2018. Did you get a chance to get feedback on that? Because you did win your class. So what did you do in that time frame to improve your package so that you could come out onto the Arnold? I watched it live, and my goodness, there was some tough competition at that show. So, I mean, you definitely earned it out of, I don't know how many girls there were, but it was definitely a lot of stacked classes. So what did you change about your training methods, or if anything, did you just continue kind of doing what you were doing and the stars lined up, so to speak?
What are you trying to do with
2018? Actually, I supposed to do the Arnold Classic in 2019.
Okay.
I prepped for it, but my body wasn't respond. So I just stopped and tried to give my body a rest because I was competing 5-6 shows in those years.
Okay.
So I have no time off.
Okay. Did you find that your metabolism wasn't responding? Like your calories were super low and your cardio was really high and you just weren't able to respond that way?
Okay. Yes.
So then did you go ahead and reverse diet and just kind of give your body some time to rest?
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That was smart.
Yeah,
that takes a lot of patience, but it clearly paid off. So that's wonderful. As far as just your overall road to pro, who are some people that have helped you along the way? Aside from you had said that your first trainer, your personal trainer that was recommended by your doctor, clearly that person had a huge impact on you getting introduced to the sport, which I really like how they had you watch a show and then prepare for it for a year. So that was really great. Were there any other people, like, did you have like a posing coach or anybody that impacted, your prep throughout the years?
Yes. My first coach is, Mark Sindarian, and he, the one is helping me to go to all those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he have taught me a lot of things that, you know, you have to be in this sport, you have to grow thick skin. You take the criticize and work on those areas that you need to work on. And it's also my posing coach is Andre Scott. He saw opportunity in me and
potential.
So he taught me how personally people think, or all my friends think, that when I'm on stage, I'm not nervous. I'm like, I am nervous.
Yeah, you don't look it. You look very confident. I saw your posing routine. It was very, very well choreographed. So is he a face-to-face type of posing coach that's there local in the area of Seattle?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
He logo, yeah.
Okay, I hadn't heard of him. So, okay, very cool. How often do you dedicate time to practice posing?
15 minutes every morning.
Okay. So first thing when you wake up, you just implement that and run through your routine? Okay.
Yes.
And so now that you're a pro, how are you handling the, since it's a different routine, it's no longer 8 to 10 seconds. You can go up to, you know, a minute and a half. Are you working with him to alter your routine so that it can, so that you can bring it to your pro debut?
Definitely, yes.
Awesome. Okay, so I guess we should go there next, is just talk about the pro debut. So with everything going on in the world right now, we know that the shows for the IFBB Pro League and the NPC are put on halt until May 10th. And so that's going to be pushing back a lot of the pro shows and the Olympia qualifications. I do know that they extended the Olympia qualification by 3 weeks, but it's not a huge difference. So do you have something on your radar? How are you handling this time of just uncertainty and all that? Like, what are your plans for your pro debut right now?
To be honest, I'm not really quite ready for the pro debut yet.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
But I'm looking for the show in June, July, or maybe August.
Okay.
Like that. Yeah.
to get your feet wet. Okay. So
yeah.
As far as feedback from the Arnold, or kind of like what your coach has told you to work on, what is your strategy? What are the things you're focusing on now until that pro debut in July or August?
What we are focusing on right now is to get my leg coming tighter, because I kind of have like leg domination, and go a little bit of upper lat, and keep my shoulder a little bit rounder.
Good. Yeah, that'll help with your symmetry and balancing out your top.
Yes.
If you're a little bit bottom heavy. Good.
Yes.
What do you do to make your waist small? You have great abs, so I didn't know if you had any tips for our listeners as far as what you do to keep your waist so tight.
I usually wear the weight trainer or bell when I'm trained, because actually I start with the, when I lifting, I kind of do the weightlifting style. They pushing the stomach toward the bell, and then one of my friends said you shouldn't do that because it's gonna grow your how do you say it?
So what I think you're describing is typically what a power lifter does, where they brace and they push against the belt, whereas really typically bodybuilders try to do the opposite, where they ab vacuum so that their waist come in towards their spine. Do you practice ab vacuuming?
Yes, I do, actually.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so in regards to your food and your nutrition, do you follow macros or do you follow a meal plan?
I am right now is follow macro.
Macros, okay. And when you get close to a competition, when you're 12 weeks out or getting closer to a show, do you have specific foods that your coach recommends over others? Are you strictly macros till the day of the show?
I stick it to my macro to the show, this prep. Okay. Actually, is my coach is right now, how do I say this? I didn't with my first coach anymore. This is my second coach.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is our first prep together.
So how do you like that difference? Did you, before with your old coach, do a meal plan, it sounds like?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you find are the benefits of switching over, and do you prefer doing the macros, what are some things that you like about it?
I actually kind of like macro because I still base on the meal plan. But macro to me, I didn't feel like I'm really have to I don't want to eat this vegetable. I can eat the other vegetable. Or I don't want to eat this carb. I can't eat the other carb. It's kind of give me an option. And I didn't feel like I'm so strict with my food.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel more freely than I don't think about food so much.
And then did that help post-show compared to, so like in the past when you had those other shows and you had a meal plan and it was very strict and it told you these specific foods, did you find that after a show you had like overeating or food fixation? And then if so, did that kind of improve with the macros after the Arnold?
It definitely is, because meal plan is great if you can stick to it, but it's the after the show is kind of a mess because it's really hard to go back to eat, you know, chicken or rice or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But macro, I still feel like I can eat bread and I feel like that is satisfying me, or I can eat, you know, whatever is, I mean, but still healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to, I don't feel like I want to eat, or I want to go out of my plan, or to eat some certain food that they shouldn't be eating.
Mm-hmm. So when you are counting your macros, are your ratios like higher protein? Are they low carb? Are they high fat? What do your ratios look like when you're cutting for a show?
For me, I'm like high protein person and moderate carb, low fat.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to your cardio, do you do cardio? What type is the best? What's kind of your methods there?
I used to do a lot of HIIT cardio, but then I found it's kind of benefit for me to lose weight, but also kind of get my leg inflamed.
Okay.
This prep for my coach, she kind of do a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
But she try to keep my HIIT cardio low as possible, but most likely got to be like steady cardio.
Okay. Yeah, I do the same thing for my athletes, just because if they are a leg dominant person, I find that HIIT cardio it really preserves the muscles in the legs. So if somebody loses muscle quickly in their legs, HIIT cardio is great for them. But if you're a leg dominant person, the steady state or the list tends to be better in bringing the legs down. And it sounded like that was one of the things that you were trying to work on. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
for sure. So in regards to just competition prep in general, what are some things that you just really enjoy about the sport? If you were to pick five things that were your favorite.
I don't know.
What are your favorite parts of competition prep? Like, what do you enjoy about prepping for a show?
What do I enjoy for the show? I think for the most part, I'm not really dressing up person. I think I enjoy the glamorous to go into the show. That's the most I enjoyable.
Okay. And then as far as I thought your suit and your jewelry, especially your gold jewelry and connectors, was very unique. I was wondering if you could share with the listeners. That was the first time that I had seen gold as the accents. Who designed your suit, and then kind of where did you get some of your accessories and things? I think that that's something the listeners would probably be interested in, because I do think you had a very unique look.
My suit is Chi logo. Her suit is MC Bodywear. Actually, it's funny, the suit that I wear, the black one, she already designed it. It's not in my size. So when I first started, I'm like, I want that one. And she like, that one is not for sale.
Huh.
And then I'm like, but I like it. I don't want anything else. I want that one. So she ended up sell that black suit for me, and she have to tailor the dial to fit my body.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. And going to the Arnold, we have to like kind of like completely change the suit too, because I'm get smaller. So mm-hmm. We changed everything. We changed the new connector, and she have to make the bottom of the suit is even smaller because it doesn't fit me.
Okay. Yeah. That I know for sure that I've had Ashley Blair on this show before. She was my first pro that I introduced, and she was in the same boat as you. In 2018, she got second overall and won her pro card at the Arnold. And she actually got her suit rejected because at the Arnold, it's on television. And her suit bottoms were too small. So, so when you say that you just had to make it smaller, you had dropped weight. Is that what you're saying, that you had to make it smaller to fit you for the Arnold? Or did you have to make the fabric more just because it is on television to pass inspection?
When I say it's smaller, remember the suit inside medium.
Oh, okay. And you're so, class A, you're tiny.
Yes. So actually, this is the first show that I went into. I actually weigh more, but for some reason, the suit, it doesn't fit me. The bottom, it doesn't fit me. So she have to make somehow it fit the new body that I have.
Yeah, and that's a good lesson for our listeners, because it just goes to show that when you're building muscle, sometimes the scale will say you weigh more because fat is so voluminous. It takes up a lot of space. So when you're recompositioning, you're gaining new lean tissue. You're actually a tinier body, but you may have more muscle. So that makes a lot of sense. Where did you find your jewelry, the gold jewelry? Was that sold by the same suit designer, or?
Yes, it's sold by the same suit, yes.
Oh, very cool. Awesome. So we haven't even gone there yet, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about, because this is kind of like something that we've never come across before in our country and really in the world. So what did it feel like to arrive at the Arnold and for the governor of Ohio to come on and say, you know, the expo is canceled? And then it just was day by day, really, where you guys didn't even know if you were going to be able to compete. They were restricting audience, all of that. So what did that feel like as an athlete for you? If you can kind of walk us through that experience.
It's really, really stressful, and it just drives me crazy, because like I say, I've been preparing for the Arnold for a year, and to me it's like the bucket list show, and to me it's like, no, it's not again. I supposed to compete at the Arnold in 2019, and here I am in 2020, and I'm ready to get on the stage, and I can't. It's kind of like, what's happening? You know, it's. But again, in the back of my mind, I also think that they gotta let us compete. That's the hope that I have.
Yeah. So when, Paul, and maybe you can describe this from your perspective, when you guys landed, kind of how did this all come about, and when did you guys actually find out, you know, that you were competing, and what's your perspective as her husband being there as well?
You know, it was very disheartening, because I felt like time-wise, they could have been a little bit proactive in, you know, notifying these changes that might happen, because I felt really bad. I mean, obviously the vendors, they kind of, you know, got the short end of the stick because they weren't able to do the expo. But I really felt bad for the competitors, because, you know, when you figure these people have been prepping, you know, 16, 12, however many weeks, you know, preparing for this show. And then to invest all this money in the travel and the hotel and makeup and, you know, all the things that you need to do to get up on stage. And then to come to find out, you know, a day after we've arrived, that now they might not allow the amateurs to compete. You know, that was, for me, I was very angry at the thought of that. It was, you know, I've watched my wife compete in every single show. I'm always there. And, you know, I was okay. I for me, I just wanted the competitors to be able to compete. I think that at least they did the right thing there, because I think that was, you know, everyone that showed up at the Arnold knew the risks of going there with the coronavirus going on, and yet they still showed up to compete. So I'm really happy that they did, but it was a very stressful, you know, as you're waiting to find out what the end result was going to be.
Yeah. So Thursday night at check-in, is that when they told you, or what? When was the actual announcement that you guys found out that she would be competing?
I want to say, gosh, it was like the day before.
Okay.
So it would have been like Wednesday night.
Okay. For sure. Okay. And so were you able to actually watch her in the stands, or?
No, I did not. I was streaming it on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it, of course, it cut out for some, you know, music infringement. So I missed kind of the end, but, you know, I missed her getting her pro card, but that was okay.
Yeah, I had wondered about that, because I was watching the overall too, and I saw all the classes come out, but they never actually had the pose down. I didn't realize that's what it was. It was a music infringement. Okay. Were you guys able to get like a recording of it, a professional video, so that you could watch it? Or
nope, we didn't get any.
Oh, darn. Oh, that's such a bummer. So as far as how that all went down, was everything like panicked backstage, Nam, or was it pretty, I mean, was it just like every other normal show? What did that feel like for you backstage?
Actually, it's all the athletes is not panic at all. We all happy to be there, and we all is grateful to be able to get on stage. It's like a normal every show.
Yeah. Okay. So when you went back for the overall pose down, since none of us got to really watch that, can you kind of tell us what was going on in your mind to prepare? So you knew that you had won your class A, and then all of the classes through H, you know, they found out who was the first place winner. What did that feel like going out there for the overall pose down? And how do you feel like it was different from the Vancouver one, where you were in that same situation? Was there any difference in how you handled that, or how you prepared mentally?
I think the difference is, for me to go to the Vancouver Pro Show, to be on the overall competing for the pro card, one pro card, I think I was prepared for that, but I wasn't. So to me, it's like, it's an eye opener to see like what the next level I need to bring, because I wasn't ready for that status. And compared to the Arnold, every girl is look great. They all look awesome. They all beautiful and everything else. But the back of my mind is like, I am prepared for this. I'm mentally prepared for this. It doesn't matter what the end result is. I'm happy.
That's awesome. That's a great mindset. So did you do any visualization before, and just kind of thinking about what your routine was going to be like? I mean, I know you have to they usually have you walk to the back curtain. Did you practice that more? Because, you know, if you're not going for an overall, you typically don't ever have to walk to the back curtain. How did you change your posing and to practice and anticipate that?
I actually didn't change anything, though. I actually stick to my routine.
Okay. Very good. So when, if you're, for our listeners, if there's any advice that you have as far as just maybe it's a person that's thinking about getting into the sport. So when you first had heard about bodybuilding, is there anything that you would want those types of listeners that are considering doing a show, any kind of advice that you have for them?
So for the any listener out there, if bodybuilding is great sport, but you going to compete it is compete it for yourself. It's hard, and you know, better ask yourself, are you willing to go there in that place? You know, when you give up everything that, you know, friends or food, whatever that is, time with your family, are you willing to go there? And, you know, you how I'm going to say it, it's really mental. Make sure you check your mental toughness before you enter to this sport, because this is not just the grandmother. It's more than that.
Yeah. And so what have you learned about yourself throughout this process and over the years of bodybuilding?
You learned about yourself.
Actually, what I learned is I have the mental toughness that I never thought that I have, or, you know, the thing that I can push myself to, or the willingness that I'm willing to take, the challenges that I'm going into. That's what I learned about myself.
That's awesome. And so if now that you are a pro, is there anything that you would like to utilize your pro status for in regards to promoting the sport of bodybuilding? I was just wondering if there was anything that kind of changes about your life now that you're a pro.
Anything changed about my life?
As far as like how will you use your pro status? I mean, do you plan on utilizing it to promote the sport of bodybuilding in a particular way?
I would like to, you know, introduce people to, like, you know, eating healthy. It doesn't mean to be everything is cold turkey or strict in it. You know, it's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's more than just one thing. You can enjoy it to be looking healthy or strong, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what this podcast is all about. It's about the living the prep life. So making it harmonious with your family, your friends, making it a sustainable lifestyle. I truly think that in order to become a pro, you have to be at that point where it can't just be a temporary thing. So, Paul, maybe you can share with us how, since your wife has been doing this for several years, and not everybody out there has a spouse that supports them and goes to all of their shows. So how has this changed your relationship with Nam? If anything, you know, has it strengthened it? Have you guys been able to share anything in regards to, like, workouts? How do you kind of, like, do date nights? I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but how has your relationship evolved? Because you said that you guys have known each other. Have you been married for 15 years? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Almost 13 years.
Okay. And so this was a big change for you, Nam, because previously to this, you had never exercised. You didn't enjoy it. So, Paul, can you tell our listeners how that's changed your relationship, maybe for the good? or how maybe bodybuilding has maybe enhanced your lives or affected and evolved your relationship together?
Well, I've learned that when she's prepping and she comes home from the gym, she's very grumpy until she's eaten. She's very hangry. I think that the very nice thing for us is she's very goal orientated. So, you know, when she sets her mind to something, I mean, it's pretty amazing to watch. I'll tell this little story, and this is kind of when I first found out about her persistence is, one day I came home and she'd moved, a refrigerator had been moved in our basement. And I asked her I said, which one of my friends came over? And she's like, nobody. She just ran around the house, you know, ran through the garage and in the back door and kept pushing and pulling that thing until she moved it. I kind of learned that, she's so strong and she can handle just about anything. I think for us, it's kind of brought us together where I work a lot and it's allowed us to spend more time. And even though I'm not a fitness person, but, you know, it definitely has brought us together because I take great interest in her passion and, you know, it inspires me in a lot of different levels, just, you know, her hard work and persistency.
That's awesome. So when she's in prep, are you able to go out to restaurants? How do you make date nights work and all of that? I know sometimes that can be a little tricky, but it does sound like, you know, she has been doing macros. So maybe you guys have some flexibility there. I don't know. How does that impact your nutrition in the household?
For us, well, I mean, being that she's done this, we eat way healthier. I mean, I eat way healthier than I ever have in my life. and, you know, I think we try to take time to, you know, when she has her cheat meals or whatever, you know, we try to do something nice, go out and have a nice dinner. You know, we try to work around it. It's not always easy. But you know, you do things for people you love and you just make, you know, just work through it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And had you ever, and I know some guys, like before they know anything about the sport, sometimes they can be a little bit leery about, you know, their wife being in a bikini on stage. I've been pretty lucky because my husband has always been to my shows and so has my family. And I mean, I know that it's definitely a very family friendly sport and that it's really respectable. When you first found out about this though, what was kind of your reaction? And then kind of when you went to, did you go to watch the first show with her, to kind of gauge what it would be like, or how did that look?
You know, I did. And, you know, I mean, I think for people that are, you know, for spouses especially, you know, and I think guys typically, I mean, most guys that don't do bodybuilding, you know, the first time you think about guys in their Speedos posing on stage, you know, and jokes get cracked or whatever. But I think once you actually start, for me, watching my wife and then meeting some of these other bodybuilders, you know, I had a great appreciation for all the work that they did. And I think that's really eye-opening. I'm lucky. I mean, her first coach, we're still great friends with him. You know, he's a family-oriented guy, and, you know, we were just kind of brought into the fold, and, you know, it was like a big family, and it was, you know, it was really nice, and it was nice to see how much support she got from other people. But, you know, it takes a minute to kind of understand that just because she's getting on stage and wearing the bikini. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing sexual about it. I mean, it is the sport, you know, because I think a lot of people kind of be like, you know, like, oh my gosh, she's up there in a bikini. But it's, you know, for all the hard work that they do, that's what it is. And I think it's, you know, I think it's been a great sport for her and for us, and we've made great friends and family over the years.
Yeah, I think you bring up excellent points that it's really, it when it comes down to it, it's just really about mutual respect. And I mean, that's one thing that I've loved about bodybuilding are the people that I meet are so unique. They are such hardworking people. They have to be extremely organized. It is a mind master, very self-disciplined, and it's just motivating to be around other people that are like-minded, and you kind of get that energy from everybody. So I love that you said that. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I know that there's probably a lot of competitors out there that have a significant other or spouse that if they don't know about the sport, they could have those reservations. So thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. Nam, is there anything that you wanted to share with our listeners before we sign off that I didn't ask you a question, but that you kind of want to give an advice to people that are competing, that are going for their pro card, anything like that, any words of wisdom?
You know, it's a... Just keep working. You know, don't compare yourself to other people, because everybody born different. You know, just keep work on it. You know, it's your hard work will pay off someday.
Good, I love it. Yeah, and it sounds like you've really just motivated and inspired a lot of people, including your husband, and just keep being that person that that shows that hard work really does pay off. And we'll look for you to do your pro debut here coming up this year. Wish you the best of luck. And so if our listeners wanted to find you and contact you and maybe ask you about your unique suit, where you got it, all that stuff, where can they find you on Instagram?
My Instagram is blackweirdo_2525.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
And my suit maker is MC Bodywear on the Instagram.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and put those in the show notes. I'll have you share that with me so that I can put that in the show notes if the listeners want to reference that. And you can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. And if you would like to apply for the team, we are accepting applications for some hardworking unicorns. And our website is glamgirlbikini.com. You just click the Getting Started button and you can apply. From there, you will get a phone consultation. With that, this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini signing off. Thank you so much, Nam and Paul, for your time today. We sure appreciate it. Thanks for listening, guys.